We'd like to give a special thank you to PecoSupply.com for sponsoring our podcast.
Welcome to the Homestead Podcast. You are joining co-hosts Carol and Jamie of TwoGalsHomesteading.com. If you found yourself here, that means you are ready to take responsibility for what you eat, your family's health, and your family's well-being while living a simpler life. You can do this and have fun, saving money along the way. Let them help you unleash the homesteader within. By doing more with less, you will gain what is needed to create confidence, impact, and change in your life and the lives around you. Let's start homesteading. Let's start now.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Carol.
How are we doing today?
Pretty good.
Nice spring day.
It looks like spring out there. It feels like spring.
Yes, it's very nice to see the sun. Oh, seeing the sun is just so exciting.
I actually cracked the window on the car so that it wouldn't like get sweltering when I'm in here. It's like, the flies aren't bad on the farm. Yes, we can do that.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be doing that in July.
No.
No. We'll like to welcome you guys back to our food preservation series. And this is part three. And today we're going to discuss freeze drying. Both Jamie and I have a freeze dryer. I have a Harvestrate.
I have a Stay Fresh.
We freeze dry quite often, but it's fairly new to us. We got the first freeze dryer came in September, maybe. And then we had, then the other one came.
Yeah.
And they were both at my house for a while. And then we moved the Stay Fresh over to your place.
Yeah, I think it's been a month, two months.
Month and a half, maybe. Something like that. So now we both are freeze drying. I enjoy it.
Oh, I do too. I'm looking forward to harvest time and using it much more. Because even after doing my research for this, it's like, we'll get into the nutritional value and stuff like that. That's like, oh, I may end up freeze drying a lot of stuff I used to can.
And you're the gardener of the two of us.
Yes.
And so when you're talking harvest, you're talking about
tomatoes,
taking out of
pepper,
your garden.
Yep.
Making use of those things in a little bit different way than you've traditionally been doing.
Normally I'd make salsa and can it, but now I think I'm going to make salsa and freeze dry it.
Okay.
So that I can reconstitute it just as quickly as popping open a jar.
And then you don't have to, well, I'd say you don't have to be canning in the summertime, but if you're going to be running the freeze dryer, depending
heat
on where you have it located,
will
make a difference as to the heat in your house.
Yeah, I've been pondering that going, I thought I was going to put it in this back kind of storage room, but I'm like going, can it run a freeze dryer and an air conditioner?
Oh, yes. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about it. We're talking about our experience here, but what exactly is freeze drying?
So do you have the definition?
Yes, I have the definition in front of me. Freeze drying is a way of dehydrating frozen food via a process that transforms ice into vapor, also known as sublimation. It is a healthy food preservation method as it retains most of the beneficial plant compounds and nutrients in the foods, as well as their color, taste, and appearance. That's freeze drying. We have freeze dryers because food storage, basically.
Yeah.
That's it. It just is another way. It's another way to preserve your food. Unfortunately, they're not exactly cheap.
No.
They are probably one of the most expensive methods of preserving food.
It's expensive up front.
Right.
But if you are somebody that is looking at that, building a survival pantry or an emergency pantry, and you're going to go out and buy already freeze-dried food for one adult for a year is over $5,000.
Oh, I did not see that information.
Yes. And so if you're looking at that, you're freeze-drying for more than one person, even one person, you would recoup your expenses in 1 year. But if you're doing it for a family, it's definitely worth the investment to do it.
Okay. And so for those of you who have not looked at a freeze dryer, they run about $3,000 on average, maybe closer to $5,000, depending on the size, which brand you want. There are more out there than just the two brands that we have.
And actually, I was on Harvestrate's website today. They have a $500 sale going on right now.
That's what I heard. Rich was listening to something and they were talking about that. And we will link that in the show notes so you can take advantage of that special.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a very good deal because I believe the medium is at about 3,000.
Yeah, right over 3,000. Okay,
$500 off of that. But yeah, they do run deals here and there.
Yeah.
And so that might be something you want to check out if you are actually looking for that. And we, if you order through their website, through our links that we have in our show notes, we greatly appreciate that. The Harvest Right link in our show notes may be affiliate link. I'll just tell you that. And we do appreciate it if you do click through there and actually make a purchase. That gives us a little something for talking about it and learning about it. And just so you know, we're more than happy to answer any questions about freeze drying. We're not experts, but we are happy to hold your hand and help you through it and help you decide what if it's a good fit for you or not. But let's talk a little bit about maybe the equipment you need for freeze drying. Of course, the main thing is your machine.
Yep.
And along with that machine, they usually come in a kit. So you get the machine, a set of trays, oil, there's a pump, and you get a pulse sealer. And I think that was basically what was in our kits. Oh, and filters, because you do need to filter the oil. Yeah. And that's probably about it that comes with the machine. And I know they do run special sometimes, and you can get extra bags or something like that. You can order the bags from Harvest Right, or you can order them on Amazon. I've seen them.
And AvidArmor.
AvidArmor. We have a vacuum sealer here that we use quite often, actually. I'm surprised how often we use it. And they have bags. And I've seen their AvidArmor vacuum bags. I've seen them on Amazon. Oh, so you can order them from there, too. So we talked a little bit about storage containers. So Mylar bags is one thing. Or you can do like we do and have jars.
Yeah. Jars. We vacuum seal a lot. I have a food saver that I bought at a garage sale 15 years ago. Right now, I'm storing for only a year. I'm not looking at 5 years, 10 years. And so mine is to be used in a year. And so I'm just vacuum sealing them in glass jars.
Instead of putting your canned goods in there, you're now using it for freeze drying. And I know you were saying you're running out of jars.
Actually, I had my daughter pick up some in St. Cloud.
Oh, okay. So that you need some kind of a storage container. And most of the time you want to be able to seal that, especially if you're looking at long-term storage. So Mylar bags come in real handy for that. Glass jars work. Our canning jars, you do need to have a two-piece lid system for that to work. Now, Rich has messed around a little bit. He's actually gotten the single-piece lids to work.
Oh, and doing it in the freeze dryer.
In the freeze dryer, because you can actually use the freeze dryer as a vacuum sealer for jars. And that's how we do the bigger jars. Rich vacuum sealed 25 pounds of Redmond salt. And so he put those into the freeze dryer and vacuum sealed those. He did do the gallon jar in there as well that has the dog treats in it just to see if it worked. And it did. If you're going to be using long-term storage, which neither one of us really does, I assume my stuff is going to be used up within 2 years, but then you need oxygen absorbers. A lot of people use the little packet that takes the moisture out. Now, I assume that's for if you're looking at storing long term, 15 years. A lot of the stuff they say will last 25 years if it's freeze dried correctly. We already talked about having some way to seal. You need a vacuum sealer or that can seal
your
bags.
You're going to vacuum pack your jars. Yep.
Other equipment.
You need a table, a counter, spot to set the freeze dryer.
Yep. Yes. And you also need a dedicated outlet in your house.
Yes. Especially if you have large and above.
Well, I don't know. We had our freeze dryer here. The Harvest Right was actually plugged in over here. It was running and I decided to make a piece of toast. And Rich did not realize that the outlet that the freeze dryer was on is also on the same circuit as the toaster. And it stopped my freeze dryer. We blew the circuit. So, you know, toasters are kind of
notorious.
Yeah, they're kind of a energy hog. And so that is something you do need to keep in mind. The Harvest Right actually resets when the electricity comes back on. It will tell you that there was a power outage and it will start where it stopped, where it got interrupted. The Stay Fresh does not do that.
Oh, okay. We have not.
Yeah. I don't think that one does that. I think we had the electricity go out once when it was here and it doesn't. You have to kind of figure out where it was at maybe and that type of thing.
Yeah. It's sitting in my dining room. And so, you know, we might have phone chargers and computers extra plugged in. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's got the whole room to itself.
Okay. Well, that's good because like I said, we did blow it with using the toaster and that. So that's another thing you need to make sure you have a dedicated outlet so that it doesn't do that. Because if you don't know that and it blows, you could lose all your product in there.
If you're not home.
Or in the middle of the night, you know, electricity goes out. That's the one thing that you do need to make sure you have. And like you said, a counter, and you need the freeze dryer has to be up where you can work with it.
Yep, because then you need a bucket for the drain to drain down mm-hmm. into. And so if that's down lower, makes it, I don't know how you would do it otherwise if you didn't have it where you could drain down.
Right, yeah, it has to drain down now. There is a differences in between the harvest rate and the stay fresh. Where the harvest rate, you do need to be paying attention to what you're doing, because you can actually get the water to flow back up. It can ruin your food if it backs up.
Yeah, it'll suck water back into the chamber.
Yep. But on the stay fresh,
it's not an issue.
It's not an issue just simply because of how they have the drain
configured. The relief valves is up on top, was where the drain is on the bottom.
Yep. So that's one advantage to the stay fresh over the harvest rate. Not that I've experienced any problems with our harvest rate.
Yeah, well, that issue comes into if you have your drain hose down and too small of a bucket or too close and the hose is in the water. I was worried about that. And so I have a 5-gallon bucket that it drains into. There is no way that hose, with the height of my counter and the hose, the 5-gallon bucket, there's no way it's drained. It's not sitting in the water.
Right. Mine, actually, I have a dish pan underneath mine and it hangs several down. Inches above the dish pan. So there's no way.
Yeah, you don't have no issues.
Yeah, it'll overflow onto my floor before it goes anywhere else. Let's see. And anything else you need? I don't think so, besides food.
Yeah, or useful things. Parchment paper.
Oh, yep.
It's very handy for especially sticky candy, fruit, grapes. Sometimes I wonder, I used it when I was doing my guacamole, but I don't know if you really needed to. It seemed to pop right off.
Another helpful thing is an extra set of trays.
Yes. Very. I mean, because stay fresh, that's an option when you order. Do you want one set or two set? And it's an extra $100 to do two sets in it. If you're into making something, you're like, I can see a garden seasoning, making salsa. I can fill 4 trays, freeze those, put them in the freeze dryer, and then fill the other 4 and have them waiting so that your turnaround time would be quicker.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the process of freeze drying.
Yep.
Now, you just mentioned about pre-freezing and all this stuff. So you don't have to pre-freeze anything that goes into the machine. The machine will freeze it. But if you're doing like you're talking, where, you know, I've got salsa coming in, I got tomatoes coming in every day, and I need to have my machine running and running and running and running. So having that extra set of trays, so you prep whatever it is you're going to put on your tray and you pop it into your deep freeze. And leave it in there for 24 hours or so. You can put that into your freeze dryer, and your freeze dryer won't have to freeze that food before it starts going into the actual freeze drying
process.
And then while that's freeze drying, you can then be prepping your next set of trays and get them into your freezer, pre-freeze them. It's just a time saver, because the freeze dryers do take energy, and the longer it's running and they are warm.
Yes.
Okay. So another piece of equipment that we didn't mention, I just popped into my head here because we don't use them on ours, but there are users out there of freeze dryers that say that you need to have a fan running to help keep your machine cool. Now, that is something that neither company that we have recommends. They don't say you need to have a fan running on it or whatever. But when you go into freeze dryer groups, a lot of them talk about that. And now, I don't know, I suppose it probably depends on how hot your house is. I don't know. We haven't done a freeze drying in the summertime.
No.
And we have a lot of humidity in Minnesota.
And neither one of us have an air conditioner.
Yes, we do not have air conditioning in our houses. So I'm not sure if that's something we will utilize or not. But just so you know, the companies don't say you need that.
Yeah.
But a lot of users put a fan that blows directly on their machine so they can supposedly keep things cool.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Report. If we decide to try that, we will let you know. But
we'll report back in about 5 months.
Yeah, once summer hits, if it ever gets here. Although spring seems to be here.
Yeah, spring might be here.
All right, so we talked about having an extra set of trays or extra couple sets of trays, and then you do need room in your freezer.
Freezer,
in your regular freezer, and they prefer you should probably use a deep freeze is what I think I have read mostly. I don't know.
Yeah, because I have a second refrigerator just outside my kitchen, and I was using that, and I had stacked 4 trays up, left them 24 hours, and thought, okay, they're done. But when I went to put them in, the 2 trays that were in the middle were not frozen all the way.
Okay.
So I don't know if I need to rotate. But then I just took those two tray and threw them out in my freezer that's just outside the door in the garage.
Yeah. So, I think they recommend a chest freezer if you're going to do that. And that's a very important point when you're freeze drying is that you want all your trays the same.
Yes.
So they either all need to be frozen or they all need to be not frozen.
Yes.
You don't want to have two that are frozen and then one that's semi-frozen and one that's fresh because that will not work.
Yeah, it'll confuse the machine, I would think.
And you're going to end up with food that isn't going, not going to freeze dry correctly. So the big thing is to remember if you're going to put it in, if you're just going to put it in straight from the garden, all the trays have to be fresh and not frozen. And if you're going to freeze it first, make sure all your trays are frozen and they're all frozen solid.
All the way through.
Because there are temperature sensors, I believe, on the machine. And so it regulates it. It does check the temperature. And if you happen to put the warm tray in or the frozen tray where that temperature sensor is, it's going to
think it's done.
Yeah, it's going to think everything is frozen when you have one tray that isn't. That's a very important thing to remember is that you want everything at the same temperature, whether it's frozen, room temperature, you know, we just make sure everything is the same. And you should always try to do foods that are similar.
Don't put your onions with your pineapple or anything like that.
Yep, you don't want, that might not turn out so good. Yeah. Now, I have done green peppers and tomatoes at the same time.
Yeah, but I always think if they're compatible foods, I will do them together.
And I've done onions, but I don't remember what else I did with onions. I think I did garlic on a tray and onions on the other trays. Those worked fine. And I don't think I would probably put meat in with fruit.
No, I wouldn't, especially if you're doing raw meat.
I've not done raw meat.
No, I haven't.
I have done raw organ meat. But I have not done like raw burgers or chicken breasts or anything. Like, I have not tried that. I have done ground beef, but I have cooked it first. Probably one of my favorite things to do in the freeze dryer. It's one of the most convenient foods I think I've made in the freeze dryer.
I can say, if you're a lot of hot dish casserole family, that would be very handy, especially, or if you're camping, emergency, you know, electricity is out. Mm-hmm. What can we cook? I could see that a component that you could use to make. And then I saw a YouTube video to cook noodles and rice and then freeze dry them. So you can have meals with just hot water.
That's one of the advantages, you know, when we talk about, you guys go out to Sturgis. I don't, but your husband and you and Rich go out there and how handy that would be to have those meals.
Especially if they were like the first year they went out where they camped out. In a tent, you know, that would be awesome for that. But, you know, that is not my idea.
But that is camping. And, you know, when you go on a trip, like a motorcycle trip, you don't want to be carrying coolers and all that, you know.
Heavy stuff. Yeah. You're not going to carry jars.
And you don't have room, all that type of thing. And so that was one of the other reasons why we were looking at the freeze dryer is that when Rich takes a trip, He can have
prep meals.
Yep. All he needs is hot water to make himself something. That's an advantage there if you're a person who does camping or hiking. You know, you freeze dried treats on the way, you know, those are
space
awesome
and weight
things.
Wise.
Yep.
It's amazing, I would think.
Yes. I mean, it's amazing how much weight is lost in the freeze drying process.
Yeah, I'm totally amazed at that. Our avocados were on sale earlier this year, and I think I made three loads maybe of guacamole, and it's great. I'll take out a cup and put a couple tablespoons of warm water and have guacamole.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about having, you have this big bowl of guacamole. Now we got to eat it for the next 3 days, you know.
You got to eat it before it turns gross.
Right. So that those are some nice little advantages to that. Now, I haven't really done anything where like I'm doing a meal.
Yeah, I haven't either. I did soup.
You did? Did you do stew?
I did a stew, but I have not reconstituted it yet.
We had some soup here over the course of, I think in March maybe. And so I have those leftovers sitting down there the freeze. They're frozen.
Yep.
I actually have them in Ziploc bags frozen down there, and I will rip open the bag and put them on the trays and see how they go. But I don't have enough to do a whole batch.
Yeah, I don't either. Because I had made chili and I have that. Actually, I'm using Rubbermaid take and go or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. And the rectangles, and that's almost the right size. I squished it in just a little bit. So I have those frozen in kind of like portion size. Those I'm going to freeze dry when I have enough things built up for in the same flavor family.
Yeah, in the same, where do they maybe have the same moisture and all that. So you kind of have the same thing going on. Now let's talk a little bit about filling our trays. Now you had mentioned parchment paper. And I don't use a lot of parchment paper anymore. I have learned, well, the trays are stainless steel. So they clean up really quite nice.
Yeah, they do.
But I haven't been doing a lot of fruit like you have been doing. If I did fruit, I would definitely put it on there because it's pretty sticky.
The grapes are sticky. Because like even a grape that sticks to the side, that touches the side, I will have to leave that tray soak and almost use a scraper to scrape it off.
And I know some people talk about using silicone mats, but I got some and I don't like them. To me, a silicone mat is just another thing I have to wash, and it's just not something I want to mess with.
No, I did use, because you two of them were, you had cut them for the Stay Fresh. And I did use them when I was using making the guacamole, because of course I don't have stands. There's nothing that you can buy to make the stands for, like Harvest Right, you can buy in other companies, make lids and stuff that have stackers, razors, so you can separate them. There's not anything like that for a Stay Fresh yet. So I use those silicone mats in between the trays, you know, so that the guacamole did it on the tray. And then my husband has had a sheet of plastic, like a cutting board would be made out of, and he cut those and so that I can make kind of lay it across and make kind of risers. And so, and then I put that silicone down, I put the risers on it, and then I stacked another tray on top. And that's the only thing I use that mat for, those silicone mats. So
is that I didn't like how they worked inside the freezer, but a lot of people swear by them.
Yes.
People do a lot of candy seem to use those.
I could see that because the candy would be sticky.
So the higher the sugar is in whatever you're freeze drying, the stickier, and sometimes they get really foamy looking. Was that a good word to describe it?
You could take some very interesting photos of them and let your imagination go with what they are.
Yeah, the higher the sugar content. And, you know, tomatoes have a lot of extra juice in them. And lots of times they get kind of foamy in the freeze dryer.
I have not done tomatoes.
Yeah, but I've done tomatoes for you over here.
Oh, and then one thing we learned is with tomatoes, because I had chunked those. And I will chop my tomatoes from now on and make them smaller because of the chunk, some of them didn't even freeze dry.
Yeah, the size is very important depending on what you're freeze drying.
Yes.
You know, we learned that grapes, you need to make sure you prick the skin or cut them in half. Yep. Or somebody mentioned blanching them first, and that breaks the skin. Blueberries are another one, and most people use a meat tenderizer to do that.
That was really easy. I haven't done blueberries, but I've done grapes. And grapes turn out different. If you slice them in half, put the cut side up, not down, they freeze dry really nice. And the whole ones that you just poke with a meat tenderizer, total different flavor palette. Maybe, I don't know.
The whole grapes almost taste like a grape Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
That would be a good way to describe it.
Yeah,
I think.
You say that. Yeah.
The grapes are really, really good. Okay. So we were talking about filling trays.
Oh, yes.
So the other thing to remember when you're filling the trays for your freeze dryer is that you don't want your food to be over the lip of the tray, just because sometimes things kind of expand and you don't want them touching the heat mat that's above it for the next tray.
Yeah.
There's a shelving unit that's in there, and sometimes your stuff expands. And you don't want to clean that up and ask us how we know this.
I haven't experienced that one yet. You have?
Yes, I have. And it's kind of a pain to clean. So I have heard some people say they try to put a sheet of parchment paper over the top.
Oh, I could see that helping.
And so that if it does go too high, then it won't touch on there. But others say you shouldn't do it that way because then the circulation is affected.
Oh, I can see that
on
too.
The food. So I guess it's kind of try to figure out what works for you. But we've done apples and we've done pears, and we layer those on our trays.
Oh,
two layers, if not three.
Yep.
Depending on
how you slice them.
Yes. Pears are probably one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Mine too.
And I did some and I sprinkled cinnamon on them. Oh, we should talk about how to do apples and pears if you don't want them to turn brown.
I dipped them in pineapple juice.
That's what I did too. And then I sprinkled some of mine with cinnamon. Oh my gosh, that was really, really good. Pears with the cinnamon on it, that is like my favorite. Yes. That is my favorite snack out of that machine.
And then you got to remember too, whatever ripeness your fruit is at, that is how it's going to taste when it comes. That's going to weigh into how it's going to taste when it's done. Because I got a deal on bananas at Walmart, and some of them are really ripe and some of them weren't. And those bananas aren't my favorite. I'm like, where I'm thinking, I may not ever do bananas again. But then I see other people love their bananas. Mm-hmm. Okay. They must just not have been ripe enough. Whereas the pears I have right now, they were ripe on the verge of going to be bad in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they are awesome.
Yes. Those are really, really good. You had them over here on Friday night. And you've done pineapple.
Yes. Pineapples are really good.
Yep. Pineapple's really good. We've done cherries. We've done peaches. I've done blueberries, and they were kind of a hit and miss. Bananas were a hit and miss for me. I have done greens because they're part of Chastity's diet. That worked really well. I just don't know if it's worth running the machine for the amount of
powder that
you get.
Now, is that one where you kind of really packed it onto the trays?
Yes, I had them really, really packed in. I mean, there's still lots of air in there, so to speak. Yeah, and I pre-froze them. I don't remember how long it took in the freeze dryer. I honestly don't remember. But so I made like a Super Greens, you know, they sell them at Walmart or whatever, you know, these, and then you pay
an
arm and a leg for them. And it works okay. I just don't know if it's exactly
worth your time and
worth
effort.
Worth the effort of doing it.
The powder.
Oh, yeah. If you're buying the powder, yes, I would say it is worth it.
Yeah.
But I have always used fresh with Chastity's diet. So
now, and if you're raising them and not buying them at the store, it might be worth it too. Or here's another thing too: if you can buy organic frozen, I know you can buy frozen spinach. I don't know about kale and stuff like that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If you could buy it at the store frozen, where that chunk of labor is taken out, because I can see cutting it out of the garden and rinsing it and then spinning it dry would be. Would take you a little bit of time. I would be one of those people that's like, okay, lay out the dish towel and lay it on the counter for a few hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I just did it like 2 or 3 batches, and it's just not something that I want to do again, at least not in the near future. I've run eggs a couple of times, and that works really, really well. I gave you
yours,
some.
Yep.
And they reconstitute really nice, but you always have a scrambled egg.
Yes, or if you're using them in baked good, you got to remember to compensate for that lack of water that would be in the egg.
Yeah, and that goes for any time you're using freeze-dried ingredient in your cooking.
Yep.
Yep, you've got to make sure that you have enough liquid in there to reconstitute whatever it is.
Yep. Because I don't remember how much egg powder is an egg. 2 to 3 tablespoons of water in a pancake mix, how much that affected the quality of the finished product. Because there it was kind of crumbling. I'm like, what the heck? And then later it's like, oh, you didn't put extra water in it.
Yeah, because it will absorb everything, every last drop that you have in there. And I've played around a little bit. We've done rhubarb. You have a plant that is, well, several plants that are overachievers.
Yes, they are. That's a good word for it.
And so we decided to take all that we had frozen. And actually freeze dry it. And I've played around a little bit with the rhubarb in desserts, and I didn't add enough liquid what I make, strawberry rhubarb crisp, I think it was. I had reconstituted what I thought it should be, and then I was like, oh, I don't know, it looks a little too runny before I baked it, so I threw in just a little bit, and I had used freeze-dried strawberries and freeze-dried rhubarb, and I threw in just a little bit more of the freeze-dried strawberries, and that was enough to make it a little, it still was good.
But it was a little dry.
It was a little on the dry side. So you got to kind of play around with your recipes and try to learn where that reconstituted thing is. I will tell you that you can get too much water into some of your goods as well if you're reconstituting something. Now meat, I am told, and I've read this in several sources, that meat can't overhydrate, because I use a lot of ground beef out here. And so when I use our freeze-dried ground beef, I just dump it into a bowl and cover it with water and just leave it sit. And it kind of grows a little bit. It's kind of puffy. And I just feel it. I can tell that it's rehydrated, and I just dump the water off. It'll only absorb what it needs to be hydrated. And it is just like I just fried it. But besides, it's cold. It's just amazing. It doesn't taste any different. It saves some room in your freezer.
Well, actually, I may try some hamburgers, because we eat more hamburgers than we do like a hot dish or a casserole.
You're just not a true Minnesotan if you ain't eating a hot dish. And okay, now everybody know what a hot dish is. Yeah. Minnesota is, I swear, it is the only state that calls it a hot dish, but
it's a casserole.
It's a casserole for the rest of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, the only hot dish I really make is lasagna.
Oh, we use ground beef. Well, we do tacos out here. And
I do those occasionally with ground beef. So maybe I will do a couple tricks. Maybe I will do a load.
I don't know. I just find it really handy. Well, I used to, bulk cook 25 pounds of ground beef and then divvy it up into Ziploc bags.
I used to do that too. Now you say that.
Yep. And throw it into the deep freeze. And then I pull it out and I have a meal much faster. And yeah. I don't know if the freeze drying meat is any faster than the frozen meat, but I don't have to take it out of the freezer. It's not taking space up in my freezer. That's what's really nice.
Or in case of a power outage, which mm-hmm. we experienced last year for a day or so.
You did, yes.
And so you don't have to worry. And that was one of my biggest concerns. Oh my God, I got two freezers full of meat. Mm-hmm. I would still be baked right now. But
yeah, if it happens in the dead of summer, which seems that that's when our storms hit, right, yep. and we have problems. Although I will say out here, we're usually not down for very long.
Normally not. So last year it was an anomaly that we were out for almost 2 days without.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't usually happen. So we don't experience those outages very often.
But no, yeah, we don't either.
Right. I mean, out on the East Coast, I know sometimes they're without power for days.
Yeah. Or, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I've heard that they can go without mm-hmm. for a few days.
So if you live out there, freeze dryer might be a nice investment for you. What else have we done? I've done I've done sweet peppers, which taste like candy.
Yeah, they
taste
like peppers.
Peppered candy. They are so good. I've not reconstituted those to see how they work.
Oh, and in a dish?
Yeah, in a dish or on a pizza or something like that. I have not tried that, so I can't answer on that. I've done Italian sausage. Now, our Italian sausage is made with pork. Oh, so if you're going to do pork has, especially ground pork, has some fat in it, and so you really need to rinse that. I cook it and then I rinse it just to get rid of some of that fat. Hasn't been too bad for me. I haven't had any problems with it, but I also am not real concerned about it because I know I will use it up within a year.
Because the issue with the high fat content food is that if you're looking at for long-term storage, you're talking 2 years, 5 years, 25 years, that's where the concern is, because the fat will go rancid and wreck the taste of your food.
Exactly.
So if you're cooking it and freeze drying it to be within a year, I think you should be safe. I would still like something fatty thing like that. Mm-hmm. Sausage, I would definitely drain and then rinse to get a little extra off.
Yeah, just to make sure that that's clear. And on that thought, we're going to stop and we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsor.
Family-owned PeteCoSupply.com brings small-town customer service to their online farm store. PeteCoSupply.com specializes in automatic waterers from top brands such as Miraco, Jug, Franklin, Trojan, and Ritchie, as well as other products for your operation. Find your farm supplies and automatic waterers at PeteCoSupply.com. That's PeteCoSupply.com. PeteCo Supply.
Okay, and we're back. And so we're just discussing something that doesn't freeze dry well is things that are high in fat.
Yes.
What are things that people say butter doesn't do well? I haven't tried any of those. So
I haven't either. No, but you've done milk.
I have done skim milk.
Skim milk, okay.
But I do have two milk customers who routinely freeze dry whole milk. They say it does fine. And I've also seen some people, I just saw on one of the Facebook groups that somebody had freeze dried cream and was reconstituting it. Making whipped cream, and it looks like whipped cream.
Yeah, I think I saw that post.
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure if dairy is just a little bit different, but I've heard you can't do butter.
Yeah.
But that's just cream altered, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, wasn't she trying to reconstitute it and make butter with it too?
I think so. I think that's what her goal was,
I didn't read through the answers to see how that worked for
her. I did not either. Honey, and I'm sure that's due to the high sugar content.
Oh, I would see it exploding. You'd have it everywhere.
Jam, syrup, pure chocolate. But they, if you want to do something like chocolate ice cream, you can freeze dry that.
You've done ice cream.
Yep, I've done ice cream.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Yep, I've done ice cream. Not a favorite out here. But no. Ice cream.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
So you froze cream. Whipped cream.
Yes, I did. That was flavored whipped cream. I had put freeze dried strawberries in one, and I'd done pumpkin.
Yeah.
And I think I did plain. I think that's what I had.
I did like those. They were kind of cool to put in your mouth and let them dissolve in your mouth or to float on top of your coffee.
Yeah, they were kind of fun. I haven't done them
since last fall.
Yeah, since last fall when we were just messing around trying to figure out. But I guess cream does, at least whipped cream did for us. I have seen people freeze dry cream cheese. Now that's store-bought cream cheese. I make our cream cheese out here and I have not ventured into seeing if that works differently because it doesn't have those preservatives and everything in it. It's just cream and a culture. That's
because
it.
Your cream cheese is a little different than store-bought cream cheese.
Yes, it is. And it acts different with baking and it's just different. Yep. Not bad, just different. You just gotta, there's a learning curve there.
That's all the things that we make with your milk is it's not bad. It's just different.
And peanut butter doesn't work well either.
Because of the fat content
in it. A lot of people use freeze dryers for candy. And I know you're not going to use yours for candy because that isn't part of your diet.
Except my daughter did say, she goes, well, then I'll buy you enough for a whole 4 trays. I'm like, okay, fine. If you buy enough, I'm not buying that much candy because it won't stay here.
I was going to say, and that's a lot of candy when you fill the machine. We've done candy out here. Rich has a friend who's a Skittle fanatic. And so we've done Skittles out here and they're okay. I guess I'd rather eat them freeze dried than eat them regular. Yeah. But I am just really not a Skittles fan.
Yeah, I would rather eat them normal as they come out of the bag. I did not like the freeze-dried ones.
I have done saltwater taffy, and that I like. You do not.
Yeah, you know, it tasted fine, but yeah.
You don't like the texture.
It's a texture issue for me.
And people do all kinds of candy, Jolly Ranchers, and I've seen people do candy ice cream cones where they take like saltwater taffy and put in those little tiny sugar cone ice cream cones, and then they make it look like an ice cream cone. I mean, people are extremely creative. They make suckers.
Yeah, or they were doing the peeps at Easter time.
Yep, they did peeps.
So that's a marshmallow. So you can
They say, you know, you put the, like what you find in Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
Those are freeze-dried marshmallows.
Yeah.
So you can make your own Lucky Charms if you wanted to.
That's okay, I don't like those.
See, I like freeze-dried marshmallows. I don't like marshmallows, but I like freeze-dried
marshmallows. I like marshmallows.
Oh, let's see. And of course, I've done organ meat.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I have a shelf of liver and a heart. I have a tongue. I don't know how to do a tongue. So I thought I would slice it and freeze dry it for dog treats for my my grand puppy.
That's what I have. I've done kidneys and pancreas and liver. The kidneys I use for dog treats. Pancreas I use for dog treats. Pancreas doesn't freeze dry real great. It kind of ends up like taffy. It's very, very moist, and so you have to really cut it up. Yeah, and so it doesn't work real well, so I don't know how much more I will mess around with that. Kidney does really well as long as you remove the fat. Liver does beautifully. If your liver came to you sliced, that's really handy. Not that you can't cut it up. I've cut it up too. I have some that isn't sliced, but
I don't know what mine is. I haven't opened any yet because I'm like, why did I get the liver?
So just make sure you slice it thin enough so it freeze dries fairly well, especially if you're doing several trays of different things. You know, your heart, make sure everything's sliced about the same.
Yeah, I have a meat slicer,
thickness.
So I would probably defrost it just a bit and then slice it.
That'll work really well. I haven't done heart, so I can't give you any advice on heart.
I would think it would be a matter of slicing it evenly and small enough.
Right. I would think so. Tongue, I haven't done. That I can't help you with either.
Yeah.
Is it cow tongue?
No, I think it's a pig tongue.
It's a pig tongue.
Yeah, and it's not really big.
Yeah, they're not their tongue. No, that's pig because
beef
is
huge.
Much bigger. Yeah. Anyway, that's probably the gist of what I have done. I've done ice cream. I've done cookie dough, and that was okay.
I'm trying to think.
Yes, you had some.
I think I've had some. It's been so
long. Yeah, that was a long time ago when we were just kind of playing around with the machines and trying to figure out what fun things we could do with it. But
always being totally practical.
But I was going to say probably the biggest thing I have are eggs, freeze-dried, and ground beef. Those are probably the main ones that I have a lot of. I can tell you ground beef, if it's cooked and it's cooled, you pre-freeze it, which I have done. I've done most of the time I pre-froze it, but the last time I ran a batch, I only had it refrigerated and I was like, I want to really get this done and I don't want to wait for it to
freeze
in the freezer. So I put it into the freeze dryer at refrigerator temperature. It probably took an hour longer. The ground beef is fairly dry already, so I don't think, and it's pretty fine. I have it chopped up pretty fine, and I think that makes a huge difference as to it doesn't take so long for it to freeze. You know, I don't know if I would pre-freeze it unless I was doing 20 pounds and I just needed to freeze it and not leave it sit in the refrigerator for 3-4 days or whatever if I wanted to, that type of thing. But I don't see any reason that I would waste the time on the first batch anyway of pre-freezing it.
That's good information.
Yeah, it just did. I think it added, I was like 1 or 2 hours. I think that was it. Normally it takes 16 hours and I think it took 18.
Yeah.
Without it being pre-frozen. And to me, that's well worth it.
Yeah, that's worth the extra 2 hours on the machine.
And each of my trays holds about 2 pounds of ground beef. Our beef is pretty lean out here because we're 100% grass-fed animals. So it's pretty lean, but yeah, I get about 2 pounds on each tray. And then a pint jar holds just about a pound, give or take a little bit, on that will hold what was a pound of ground beef. What I should say is what was a pound of ground beef. I usually get about 8.5 pints when I package it.
When you do all 4 trays.
Yeah, when I do all 4 trays.
Both our machines have 4 trays.
Your machine's trays are a little bit bigger, though.
A little bigger.
And so you might be able to handle a little bit more beef on there, poundage-wise. And now, I don't ever weigh my trays. I see a lot of people talk about weighing it, and that probably is really important if you're looking at that long-term storage. Again, if you're a prepper and you want to make sure you have 20 years storage, probably want to make sure that you have that, and they weigh it before goes into the machine, and there's a formula as to how much it's supposed to lose, right? If I remember
right. You weigh it before, weigh it when it's done, and then you of course subtract, that's how much water you lost off that tray. And so there's the algebra formula, so you can figure out how much water per ounce gram you need to put back in if you're reconstituted. I fly by the seat of my pants in that area because guacamole is about the only thing so far that I've
you gave me has the little
and
thing
I kind of did that, but then last time I did it I was in a hurry and it's like I just dumped some in a bowl, put a little bit on it, let it sit for a little bit, and thought needs a little tiny bit more, so I went to my I have a reverse osmosis water, and I kind of like hit the switch just a little bit and that was fine. So I'm not the scientific girl here.
I was going to say what you're comfortable with. A lot of times I see they're like, well, did you weigh the tray, you know, to make sure that you got all the moisture off that you were supposed to? And I've seen people talking about that when they're like, why did my batch fail or whatever? And they're like, well, did you weigh it? Do you know how much came off of there? And so I don't know. I guess I'm not looking at long-term storage, and I haven't done anything where I need a formula like you were talking about, you know, besides the eggs, which I simply looked up and somebody else was just like, well, this is how you reconstitute them.
There's one of the YouTubers that we follow that he has a thermal thing on his phone. It's a thing that he plugs into his phone and it where it'll show you any cold spots in it. And so if it has a cold spot, that means there's still moisture in there.
Yep. Oh, that's what we should talk about. We haven't talked about how we figure out how it's done. Your machine basically does everything. You pop your food in and you set it. You know, the harvest rate is really simple. It's really freeze drying for dummies.
The Stay Fresh has a lot of components you can mess around with. But there's the auto function that you just like the harvest rate, you put it in there and you push go and it goes. The only thing I mess with is like if it's going to it's going to finish at 1 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm going to put more dry time on it.
Right.
So that it finishes it early in the morning.
So that you can adjust a few things. But for the most part, you pop your food in and I don't even know if the harvest rate even asks me anymore now if the food is frozen or fresh. So you just pop your food in and you start the machine and it does its thing. It'll either freeze your food or keep freezing your food because a lot of times it takes a while. The chamber.
It's got to bring it down to 40 below.
Yep. And so it'll keep freezing your food to a point, and then it just kind of does its thing. It
switches over and then it starts heating it.
Yep. And then it goes into the vacuum drying or what process, and then it does a freeze dry process.
Yeah, that's where with the vacuuming that it pulls the moisture out of the food particles, and that's what forms the ice on the side of our chambers.
So when we're talking about draining, that's what we're talking about is the moisture that is pulled out of the food and then you get a big ring of ice on the inside, and then that melts. This machine alarms, I assume yours does too. When it's done, it'll tell you that it's done, and you open up the machine and you test your food.
Yep.
And like you were mentioning, you can get a thermal reader type thing. Yep. They're not exactly cheap.
Yeah, I haven't looked into them.
You can scan your food. I use my hand.
I just run it underneath the bottom of the tray.
Yep.
If the tray is cold, I know that there's still moisture and I'll put it back in.
Right. You do not want cold spots. Cold spots tell you that there's still moisture in, like you had mentioned before, there's still moisture in your food and you need to run the system longer. If it gets done drying and you're not there to tend it, it starts to make the trays cold again. So that's where it's important to know when your machine is going to finish.
I think both machines, you can add extra dry time. So if it would finish in the middle of the night, or if you're at work, you can add more time so that it'll finish at a more convenient time for you. And then the other two, you know, if your tray is cold, that's one way to tell. And then to touch the top of your food. And, you know, if anything's cold or feels moist, you know it's not done. Or even to pick some up and try to snap it. It should snap like styrofoam. It shouldn't bend and bend back. You need a crisp break. And you've got to feel kind of all over the tray.
I was gonna
one
say,
spot can be totally dry and another spot be like, not done.
Yep, I have started bagging or packaging and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a cold spot. Oh, poo-poo.
Especially if you have it stacked deep. There's some things, you know, like my apple strawberries, if I stack them deep. So I get three layers in there. So if you're in there and it's like, oh, the bottom layer is not, or the middle layer is not done. Yeah. And I just throw it back in for some more dry time.
Right. Right. Yeah. And lots of times I will move my trays around.
Yes.
I will flip them. Yep. Turn them around, put them on different shelves or whatever, just to make sure that it's circulating correctly. It's important.
Stay Fresh tells me how many hours left to dry or what it's projecting to be dry for it to be dry. And so then I can go in and change that if it's going to end up at an awkward time for me.
Well, that's kind of handy because I don't think the harvest rate does. I have a bar going across there that tells me how long it's been freeze drying. But I don't know. I was doing one time and I was like, oh, well, that timing bar was like halfway across and it was like 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, well, that'll probably be just fine, you know, overnight since it's going so slow. Rich come home at 1 o'clock and it was done. And it had been freeze drying for hours before that.
Okay.
You know, and so that bar is not a good indicator, I will tell you that.
Because I got to think, watching enough, because there's more harvest rate YouTubers, blogs and stuff. I could have swore I heard somebody say that it was going to finish at 1 a.m, so I went in and added more dry time.
I know a lot of people say that, but I wonder if it's because they know
what they're doing.
No, and they've done that before. And so they know, you know, like I know it takes 16 hours for the machine to process ground beef.
Yeah.
So I can time that correctly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really mess around with the machine. I really just hit start and just leave it do its thing.
Yeah. The only thing I've messed with right now is the dry time. I've added extra dry, but to go in and do advanced dry, because there is a section in the manual that says advanced drying, and I haven't done that yet.
I don't really mess around with the harvest rate that much. Although, you know, if I'm going to bed and I'm like, oh, you know, it's already drying.
Yeah.
And I know because it automatically does 2 hours. Harvest rate automatically does 2 hours of that drying. And I'm like, oh, I know, you know, Rich will be home. He's usually home between this time and this time. So I'll make sure that it goes at least
until
he gets home and then he can take care of it. Or
he can
if
bag
I'm like,
it.
Yeah.
Bag
otherwise,
it?
I'm like, okay, we'll just put 8 hours because I'll be up at six or whatever it is, you know, type thing. So there is a little. You do need to tend your machine.
Yeah. Well, that's like any machine like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any kitchen appliance, be it your bread machine, your KitchenAid or whatever, you have to pay attention to what it's doing when you're running it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little bit of a learning curve and there's lots of information online about freeze drying right now. Facebook groups there's freeze drying groups all over.
Yeah, for each machine and then for any machine.
Right.
And there's more machines coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's a great process if you can afford to make the investment.
Yep.
I would highly recommend doing it. It's a unique way of saving your food.
Yeah, we're 6-7 months into this and I'm totally enjoying it.
Yep. It's a nice adventure. And, you know, we were at the end of harvest, even past that when we got our freeze dryers. So it will be very interesting when we have all the fresh produce coming in and seeing how we can process it. And
even since I've had it, 2 months, I watched the sale prices of fruit and vegetables much closer now. Mm-hmm. Because I would always just buy enough that what I could use in a week, two at the most. Now it's like, who goes out and buys 12 packages of mushrooms? Oh, that's another one I've done. I've done mushrooms. They were easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were fairly quick. I think it was 20 hours.
There's not a lot of moisture in
that stuff. But I bought 12 containers, maybe 20 containers. I did 2 batches of mushrooms. So I have mushrooms. So
you can definitely take advantage of those sales and that type of thing. I don't shop very often, so I don't have that advantage.
Well, even then, you know, even if you don't shop, you know, every week, you can look, okay, I'm going this week. You can look at this. We still get old-fashioned paper, newspaper ads out here.
Yep.
Or even digital ads. You can look, okay, they've got mushrooms, apples, or whatever on sale this week. You know, grapes on sale. Pick up extras and throw them in the freeze dryer.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the investment. Let's see what else. Anything else we can think of that we would want to cover?
Do we want any downsides?
Well, besides the expense.
Expense or, you know, I don't know.
And you need room.
Yeah, you got to have room.
Yeah, it's an appliance, definitely. It's not like a KitchenAid mixer.
I would say a small apartment size refrigerator would be a size comparison.
That's a good comparison. They are noisy.
Very noisy.
So those are things you want to keep in mind when you're deciding where you're going to put your freeze dryer.
Or when you're going to start running it.
Right.
I have a son and granddaughter that will come spend the night. And if they don't warn me and I've started the freeze dryer, it's kind of fun to sleep with that going.
Yeah, they are not quiet. Ours sits in our dining room, which is right next to our living room because we have open floor plan here. And so if that's running and I want to turn on the TV volume is quite high to hear over the top of
or
the
Or we're sitting tray. Right in front of it recording, so you can't run out during a podcast.
Right, yep. We have to time it correctly so that it's not running.
Or if we're going to come over, you time it so it's not running when we're here.
When we have company, yep. So if you have a busy house already, I was running my bread machine before you got here for our recording. And so that's running. There's a lot of noise that happens in my house. Yeah. Cream separator runs every day. So we're kind of used to noise like that. It's just that the freeze dryer runs for 16, 17 hours.
It can get daunting. Yeah, because actually where I sit at the table is right by it.
Oh,
so that's where I would sit and work on my computer. And so, mm-hmm. you know,
it's not like white noise.
No, it's not. It's not the ocean noise in the background or even a fan running. I know a lot of people use fans for white noise to sleep. It is not that.
That's probably the only real con I can think of is that it's kind of noisy.
And does Harvestrite, did they come out with a pump that's quieter?
That I don't know.
I know Stay Fresh has come out with an industrial pump that is quieter, but it's a much higher expense.
I was going to say, our machine is noisy. The
vacuum pump
is not.
Okay. The Stay Fresh machine is not that noisy. I could consider that white noise. It's the vacuum pump that is noisy on a Stay Fresh. But if you can afford the upgrade for the industrial pump, I would go for it. I can't justify it because it's like $900.
That's kind of costly, I guess. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess it depends on how much noise you want to have. The noise is a factor.
Yeah.
It's not enough to deter me from using it.
Nope, not a deal breaker.
Nope, not at all.
But that's where I'm looking at putting it in that office that
just
has a door.
A little bit quieter. I mean, some people keep them in their garages.
Yeah.
Basement, I've heard. But see, for me in the basement, I would forget that it was running.
Or inconvenience, that would be too much of an inconvenience because my basement is way across not that I have a huge house, but it's across the house, down the stairs, and around.
This one's fairly loud for the alarm when it's done, but the Stay Fresh is not.
I would not hear the Stay Fresh.
Yeah, you would never hear that.
And so the have to go down and see, okay, it's bedtime. How much dry time do I have left?
Yep.
Or I don't even think, I could be in the kitchen working and I could have the stand mixer running or something like that, or even like the exhaust fan on my stove running, and I would not hear it because it's a pretty quiet beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, so you'd have a whole timing issue if you didn't have it where you see it.
Yep, enough. Out of sight, out of mind.
I was thinking one of my milk customers has a Harvest Right, and I believe hers sits in her laundry room.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where she has hers because they didn't like the noise in the house, you know, in their living area. So she put it in there. Any other disadvantages? Not that I can.
Your electric bill will go up.
Oh, yes. Yes. There is the cost of running the machine.
I figured mine went up about $40 in a month. And that's a good guesstimate for us because in the wintertime, our electricity is very volatile. Depending on, okay, who left a heater? Like in the bathroom, we have electric heat baseboard. And somebody will crank that every now and then when it's on a cold day. And I'll get up and it's like, oh, it's been set on 80 all night. Somebody turned it up and forgot to turn it back down.
Yep. I can see that.
I'm guesstimating $30 is what it went up in a month. And I look at it that it's okay. Compared if you went out and bought freeze-dried food, let alone if you could find the freeze-dried food that I made. I have not seen freeze-dried mushrooms, guacamole, and stuff from the people in our area that's selling freeze-dried food. I look at it probably saved me probably $30 just on guacamole.
Yeah, probably. And then you got your fruit on sale.
Yep.
You got on sale and you were able to utilize those savings too. So it probably comes out in the wash. Yeah.
Some things that some people are concerned about, because California electricity is much different than our electricity price-wise,
right.
I think.
And if you're running your freeze dryer in the summertime and you have central air or anything like that or air conditioning, that might affect your bill as well just because the machines do put off heat.
Yeah.
It's nice and warm in this room when we have the freeze dryer running. And I could see in the summertime
if you're running an air conditioner and your air conditioner is going to have to work harder.
Yep, it's going to have to work harder because you have this extra heat source going on in your home. So yes, that I didn't think about the electricity part. That's a good one.
Yep.
Let's see. Anything else?
That's all that's coming to mind. Ask me 10 minutes. That's after we're done recording and I'll come up with 10.
Okay. Well, we might revisit it as we learn more.
We're always talking about it.
Yes. And I know Carolyn from Homestead Family, she just did something on comparing freeze drying to dehydrating.
Okay.
And I have not seen it. I just saw it popped up in my newsfeed and I just haven't had a chance to go and take a look at it, but they've had theirs for over a year. I think they got a second one, a second freeze dryer, didn't they?
Last year, I think she did.
Yes. And so
she's working with a family of 6 or 8 kids.
Try 11.
Oh my God.
They had a baby not long ago.
They had a baby not long ago.
I think that's number 11.
They're a huge family.
Yes.
So I can see, having two. And if you have the space for two.
Yes. And I don't know what her pros and cons were or anything, but if you want to check that out,
she does a review of it a year after getting it. But more and more are getting a freeze dryer. Like I think Jill Winger has one.
It's a big trend right now.
Traditional Living Homestead has one. They're in Arkansas, I think. Missouri or Arkansas, one of the two. I don't know if Epic Gardening still has one. He was the first one I ever saw. He had got one from Harvest Right, and that's where I put the bug in my ear going, it's $3,000.
And you put the bug in my ear.
Yeah, and you put it in Rich's, and Rich is the one down the rabbit hole.
But yeah, so it's getting more common. So you can find lots of information on freeze dryers.
Yeah, do your research.
Yes.
To figure out which model brand you want.
Yes.
Look at they're all a lot alike, but they have
pros and cons
to each of them.
Yes.
And even the new ones that are coming out. Look at all of them, because Canada has a new one coming out. The Cube is a new one. Prep for Life with the Cube.
Yeah, there's a few coming out. And so, you'd think prices would drop a little bit.
Yeah,
when there's more competition. But I just think it's a really great investment. Well worth it.
Freeze drying maintains nearly all of the nutritional values of fresh food. Other methods of preservation, such as canning and dehydrating, uses high temperatures that destroy much of the food of value. Actually, I think this came off of Harvest Right's website, is that freeze-dried food retains 97% of their nutritional value. Dehydrated foods retains 60%, and canned food retains 40%. They did not have freezing in there.
Yeah.
But it would be close.
Yes.
Except, it's in the freezer where it could go down in a power outage that would be.
And you always have the chance of freezer burn.
Packages getting ripped.
Yes. Oh, talking about packages getting ripped. There's something to talk about a little bit about how you decide to keep your food. Because one of the running themes I see a lot is people use the Mylar bags. They get all their food all propped up and they pop it into a plastic tote top, put it in the basement.
Yep.
And then a mouse gets in the house, eats through the plastic tote and destroys all their food.
Yeah.
So be very, very smart with how you decide to store your food. Now we do canning jars.
Yeah.
That's I haven't put anything in a Mylar bag. I have not put anything in a Mylar
bag. No, I have not put a Mylar. I don't have any, so I haven't had to. At times, I think it would be handy, especially when you have an awkward shape food. Yeah, that would be nice. Or if you're going to portion control for camping, biking. Our guys are talking about taking a trip for us to prep them some food in a Mylar bag.
Yep, because then they can just add their hot water to it or whatever, and they can throw it. They can toss it and when they're done. I see a lot of people who do the Mylar bags. If you're gonna do it that way, you need to
make sure it's rodent proof.
Yeah, it's gotta be rodent proof. I see a lot of people using the metal trash cans.
Oh.
Put their stuff in metal trash cans because rodents can't get through there. But those little rodents will get into.
Yep. I have an issue with them in my house.
Yep.
100-year-old house are lovely.
Yes. And so that is something to think about if you're going to be using bags that they are not exactly rodent proof. So make sure you have a good storage system for that because all your hard work.
Money and time.
Yes, can be totally destroyed by that.
One little mouse.
Yeah, one little mouse or one big rat.
If you have one mouse in the house, you have more than one.
Right, right. Exactly. So that's just another thing to think about when you're doing your storage. Another thing to think about is now we had touched on raw meat before. And neither one of us has
done raw meat.
I've done raw. Well,
for dog consumption.
I have done raw organ meat. And the thing is to remember when you do raw meat, whether you were talking about doing hamburger patties. Now, I don't know if you were going to do those raw or if you were going to
cook them.
When you reconstitute it, it's still raw.
Yes, it needs to be cooked.
It has to be cooked.
So the eggs are too. So if you do raw eggs and you reconstitute, they are raw and need to be cooked.
Unless you're somebody who eats raw eggs.
Ew.
Because people do.
Yes, people do. People do. Yep.
And there are people who do eat raw meat too.
Yep.
But it is just to keep that in mind that your freeze dryer does not cook your meat. It is not cooked.
And it's amazing that the raw meat is held and it's perfectly good when it's freeze dried in a Mylar bag or jar or whatever. Yep.
But
that kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah. And that's just something to keep in mind that, you know, if it's raw, it's raw. It's raw when it's reconstituted. You need to cook your chicken or your pork. If I assume you cook both of those. I don't know anybody who eats those too raw. I don't know. There's a lot to freeze drying. And we might do a part two about freeze drying here as we start maybe doing more meals.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Making our own convenience meals.
Yeah. And see how that works. I don't know. So far, I've just kind of done components.
I saw a YouTuber that was his thing. He was starting a pantry series and that's where he was making the components so that he could take some of the components. He was making chicken and noodle and chicken and rice and he made each of the components and then he put them in a jar and reconstituted it to make like his soups. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm doing. So I have celery, mushrooms and onions. So I have components.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And I actually have couple bags of broth frozen downstairs too.
I want to do that too.
And try to make, because I know you talked about there isn't a good
clean broth powder.
Like a bouillon or whatever out there.
There is not a clean one out there.
And so try to use the freeze dryer to make your own.
Yeah.
And so we can definitely update on that as we venture farther in on this freeze drying thing. And it'll be interesting to see when you start with your garden and what you decide to do as far as freeze drying versus canning, especially with that information you just said, canning only preserves, what did you say?
40%.
40%.
I hadn't even thought about that, comparing them that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
whereas you think of all the vitamins that are in the big ones, I is my tomato products, my salsa, mm-hmm. my salsa verde, tomato sauce, tomato paste, ketchup. That's all stuff that I usually can. But if you freeze dried it, how much more of the nutritional value you would reserve.
Right. I would think it would taste
better.
Better.
Because my ketchup
would be cooked.
Yeah, because like my ketchup, it was like on the edge of being burnt. But then our guys like it if I take and put horseradish in it and make cocktail sauce with it. So it's like, I may have to burn some just for them.
But you saved it.
I saved it, yes.
Made it into a usable product.
And I only have a half a pint left.
So. No, goodness gracious. No more shrimp for you.
Oh, they can have shrimp one more time.
Okay. Anyway, we'd like to thank you for joining us today and learning a little bit about freeze drying. And we're newbies ourselves, so take it all with a grain of salt. And we will be continuing with our series. We're going to probably touch on salting, curing, and smoking. Not that either of us has done a whole lot of that, but we are going to talk about it anyway.
We'd like to thank PicoSupply.com for co-sponsoring our podcast. So until next time.
Put some kefir on it.
Thank you for listening to the Homestead Podcast's latest episode. Your hosts, Carol Radke and Jamie Kappas, are two gals homesteading. To learn more, go to twogalshomesteading.com or the Two Gals Homesteading Facebook page at facebook.com/twogalshomesteading. Editing, audio production, and marketing of the Homestead Podcast is the responsibility of Media Trends X. The Homestead Podcast is an audio product of Media Trends X, a limited liability company based in Minnesota, USA.